Hello and welcome, Tiger fans, to Richmond's official live weekly podcast, Talking Tigers. On this week's show, we take a look back at the Anzac Eve clash with Melbourne. Josh brings a new dimension to the Yellow and Black Book specials. Can't wait to see what that one is. I'll give you an update on what Kev's been up to, Tone. He's been up and about, don't worry about that. And you, Tone, I get the feeling at the moment you're just happy to be breathing. How are you guys?
That's very, very true. JB, no, I am struggling. The foot, look, for all those that have asked, which is no one, the foot is actually a little bit better, which is good, but no, I'm just struggling with a bit of a virus. But anyway, gutsy effort to be here again.
What do you think of the song?
Yeah, why have we... I love the song, but why have we gone with it?
Oh, well, it's pretty upbeat. It's upbeat. We've got to be upbeat. It's high voltage from ACDC.
Is that because we're playing the power?
We're playing the power this week.
Ah, okay.
And we need to play some high voltage footy against
Is ACDC... Are they still going around, or...?
I'm not sure they should go on ACDC. There's only Angus left, isn't
there?
Williams and Angus, so it's not really ACDC.
No.
But anyway, he can go on if he likes. Get involved with the show if you like today. Hashtag Talking Tigers. Or give us a call. 9426 4423. And Jess Benson, our old friend down in Hobart, is already involved, and she's got involved using the @TalkingTigers Twitter handle, which isn't actually us, is it?
It's the unofficial.
It's the unofficial.
They're riding off the coattails of the global juggernaut, I believe.
A few people doing that.
So, Jess, next time...
Hello to Tigerland, Tony.
Use #TalkingTigers, Jess. We love you getting involved with us. And she's asked a question, boys. Interested to hear your views on the two-week suspension for Rance. Do you think it's fair, and should he appeal?
Well, I think it'd have to be in by 11, appeal. And
so he hasn't appealed.
Well, nothing official's come out, but... I can give you the scoop if you want that he's taken the two.
There'll be no appeal. I don't think that's a surprise, to be honest with you. No. I mean,
it was disappointing, and he would be the first to admit that.
It was things happened on the ground. It was a brain fade, he was frustrated.
Oh, incredibly frustrated.
And then, the defence has been under the pump, but I think Rance has held up magnificently the last few weeks.
Could not agree more.
I can sense his frustration. I understand it, but it does hurt you a little bit, and he knows that as well as anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's going to be a big two weeks that he's going to miss. So, it's going to open up opportunities in our defence, whether we push Chappie back and bring someone in to play forward.
I think Chappie will have to go back and help Asprey.
Maybe it's a chance for Todd Elton. Maybe Todd Elton gets
Todd Elton comes
a chance
in, or maybe
like that, or
a tall forward comes in to fill that role Chappie had been
maybe
playing.
Maybe Lids comes in and plays back.
Can Griffiths come in and play back? He could do the job down there.
Could Lids play back?
Lids can play anywhere he likes at the moment.
As long as he plays.
That was good point. Actually, I got to the ground on Sunday night. It was enjoyable. I looked forward to getting to the game, and I walk in the gates, and the first thing I hear is that Lids isn't playing. So
I was flat before the game.
No, I didn't go home. But look, he's a massive inclusion if we can get him in this week, and we missed him on Sunday night.
Yeah, I've started about that. We've missed him all season so far. I mean, just everything he offers in terms of his skill and his ability to play. Well, we could play anywhere as well. So
absolutely. We'll have an update in the injury list.
Good. Yeah. We will get into the game a little bit later on, but it's turned into a pretty good occasion, hasn't it? The Anzac Day Eve clash, 60,000 people rolled up.
It's really good, really good. And the pre-game. Great atmosphere and everything, so,
You had a go at Channel 7, I believe.
I don't think I was the only one that had a go at Channel 7.
What happened?
Well, I was watching from home, right? Yeah. So I was watching from home, and they had a package of highlights, because that takes
place of the pre-game.
Sure. And they just started, they got halfway through the last post, and then they went to an ad for My Kitchen Rules, which did not go down very well. And they were actually forced... Hamish McLaughlin was foot. They had to give a lengthy apology at the end of the game.
That's probably fair.
Yeah,
that's not something you want to interrupt.
No, and they were very, very embarrassed about it.
Everyone makes mistakes, Tom.
That's a whopper.
I guess
it is a whopper.
When we put up on social media yesterday morning about being Anzac Day and the service and everything, significant day for the country. So people use that to start bagging the team. I didn't like either. It's a very significant day, and it is. Just need to read the situation better. And Channel 7 put their hand up, and they got it wrong on that occasion.
Exactly right. Yeah. And it's a very, obviously, a very sad occasion this week.
It is.
The 20-year anniversary of the Port Arthur massacre, which is just like yesterday.
The Alana Foundation, which grew out of that tragedy. It's the 20 years on Thursday.
I was going to save it for the club news, but on this Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. at Federation Square, there'll be a candlelight vigil marking the 20-year anniversary, so we encourage all Richmond fans to get down there.
And I believe
you might be going down there, Richard.
Yeah, I'm going down with Benny and Jack. Being from Tasmania,
that's right.
I remember exactly where I was when I first heard about it. I was driving through Q Junction. I turned the radio on, and the news flash came across. Yeah. And being from Tassie, that stuff just didn't happen in Tasmania growing up. It was unbelievable, and it was one of those moments you'll never ever forget.
I remember exactly what we had. Our eldest daughter Emily, she was just a few months old, and we were taking for a walk. It was a beautiful day. Beautiful, taking for a walk through the park. And everything. Yeah. And then when you hear, the tragedy that happened to Alana and Madeline, all the people, of course, Alana and Madeline being two little girls, and you got your own little girl, it really hit home.
Would have been.
Oh, it was horrendous, yeah.
Yeah. So Thursday night, Josh, down at Fed Square.
Yeah, correct. So keep supporting the fantastic work that the foundation do. So
they're our charity partner, aren't they?
That's correct.
Yep.
Mm. Yep.
Beautiful. Hey, boys, I get a lot of... Tweets, I guess, and I bump into people who listen to Talking Tigers, and they often ask me how Kev's going.
How is Kev? What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? How is the little critter?
He's gone and done himself some mischief, old Kev.
Not again.
Well, it wasn't a good night, Sunday night. I went to the football with Jen and bumped into a few mates of mine there, Cam and Carl. By the end of the game, obviously, we're all a little bit flat. And I was going to head out in Richmond and have a few beers after the game, but I decided against it. I was too flat and had a stoush with someone on the way out of the MCG. I won't go into that.
What?
Not a punch on, but...
What, verbal stoush?
I was verbally upset, Tony. But anyway...
You must be upset if you're calling me Tony.
But anyway, we decided to go home. So we get home and we found it strange as we walked in the front door.
You weren't greeted by Kev?
No, well, we were.
You were greeted by...
Normally, Kev is not inside. He normally comes in after you get home. Yeah. He senses that you're home and he pops in to say good day, old Kevy boy. So we get in and we just sensed he wasn't himself, Kev. He's gone into the bedroom and sat up on the bed, and Jen's gone over to pick him up, and as she's picked him up, half his fur's fallen off.
Oh no.
Yeah, he's had a blue with someone.
Oh no.
A bit like you, see?
Yeah, he had a blue eye to blue. He was flat. He was flat about the Tigers, obviously.
No, clearly.
So then we notice there's a big chunk out of his ear, old Kev.
Oh no.
So he's had a run in. And we're trying to work out who it is. So we've narrowed it down to a possum, which lives out the back. Yep. There's some big possums in the trees out the back of my place. And also there's another cat in our neighbourhood that Jen has dubbed the Predator.
The Predator?
He's an alpha male type of cat. And he rules the roost around Elwood.
Yeah?
He's a nasty piece of work.
Really? Wow. Is he a lot bigger than Kev?
He's a lot bigger. Yeah. He's got a nasty look about him.
Really?
And we think the Predator...
So have you right now.
Yeah, we think the Predator may have had his way with Kev.
Well, so what are you going to do about it? Kev's got to toughen up.
Oh, no.
Right? So can you teach Kev just to be a bit more resilient?
No, we will. No, when I mean he's been in a fight, is
yeah,
what I'm
yeah.
saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, did you take him to the vet?
No, we haven't as yet. Jen rubbed...
Walk it off.
Jen rubbed some Dettol on his ear.
That's what they want.
He was happy about that, the Dettol.
Fit of TLC. And did he sleep in the bed with you?
He did, yeah. He slept on the end of the bed. And yesterday morning he had a bit of Betadine put on his ear. So for all those people who ask about Kev, he's had a blue. He's not happy. Okay. So
he was on Instagram during the week.
He was.
It wasn't Kane Pettiford's dog.
It was Pets' dog. Yeah. He's not happy with Sass. Okay. So he's had a bad week, Kev, a bit like the Tigers, I guess.
Well, we do wish Kev all the very best, yeah. Is he off his food?
No, he's still eating. He's still eating.
Yeah,
hey, okay. Tone.
Yes, Matt.
I've got a bone to pick with you.
Is that right?
I go to you for all the historical stuff with the club.
Yeah.
Now, last week's quiz question.
Yep.
We didn't have a call for it.
No calls.
Yeah.
And, John, what was the question again, JB?
I think it was, who was the 1988 grand finalists from Melbourne who came across and played five games with Richmond.
There is no. Well, I think we just said former Melbourne ruckman.
No,
we didn't. And then we added a few layers to it.
I thought it might have been Troy Simmons because he played in a grand final.
We added a few layers.
So anyway.
So he didn't play in a grand final?
Well, it was meant to be Steve O'Dwyer.
Yeah.
And he didn't play in the 88 grand final. He was suspended.
See, this
at
is
the time.
Problem. This is the problem. Leave the quiz questions to me because you can't do them properly.
All right. So we apologise. We'll have a crack at it.
So you try and you do it and you do it half-hearted.
All right. Scones. You've been out on the sauce last night, haven't you? Went out with Manfred Mann.
Yeah. He's coming in soon.
Yeah,
Manfred.
He is. Manfred's just walked in, actually.
Yeah, there we go. Manny?
Good to see you, Manfred.
Okay, so now I've taken control again of the quiz questions, so there will be no stuff-ups, all right?
Fair enough.
Hopefully no stuff-ups. So this week's question, I want to know who the oldest living premiership player for the Tigers is. Richmond's oldest living premiership player, senior premiership player.
All right, give us a ring, 9426-4423. JB's just itching to send out a TT. To whoever gets that one right. Oldest living premiership player. Give us a buzz.
And I must say, the three who have already won this year, the T-shirts will be sent out soon.
You're flat out, are you?
things are dropped since.
Let's see if AC's got on at the moment.
AC was hopeless at sending them out as well.
I think he was in China last we heard, AC.
So we got any emails or tweets coming
through? You've got mail.
Yeah, we have had some emails come through in over the week, which is great to hear from people. The first is from Philip Borrell from Mount Beauty.
Phil.
Good spot, Mount Beauty.
Absolutely.
Where is it?
We went a fourth form snow trip up there.
Out near Bright, maybe?
Is it?
Alpine.
Mount Beauty's near, around Mansfield area, was roughly.
Okay. Anyway, the email was titled Finding the Positives, which we always like to read. It starts with, Hi TT team, and thanks for keeping our spirits up during the Tigers' slow start to the season. On that topic, my thinking is that we are on the right track getting games into some of the young kids.
Yep.
Philip raises the point, though, the challenge, I guess, is getting the games into these young kids, but still finding the wins and the results to position yourself for finals.
It's a good observation there from Philip. And you know who does that better than anyone in the competition?
Who?
The Sydney Swans.
Yeah?
People were predicting them to drop off, and they've introduced three new players this year, and they just sort of integrate in well and keep winning, but they're
it's
the benchmark.
It's easier when you've had the success that they've had.
Yeah, I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
And their academy, obviously, is a fair advantage for them.
Yeah.
So it's a good point by Philip. He then goes on to say that he's really liked the look of Sam Lloyd this year.
Yes.
He's added a consistent all-round performance to his natural instincts for goal.
There's no doubt about that. He had seven tackles, I think, on the weekend as well.
He did. Don't go into it too much.
No, just hold it.
That might be my yellow and black a bit later
might
on.
Be part of my tidbits.
It might
too,
even be part of my votes. I'm not sure.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave that. Yeah.
So that's all from Philip. And now we often talk about the global sensation that is Talking Tigers.
Yeah. Where are we going now?
Keith Upton has written in.
Uppy.
The title was Listening from the Atlantic. So
wow. The Atlantic.
Thought he might have been in.
Was he on a boat?
You know, Atlantic City or somewhere. Never miss the show, guys, but the intermittent Wi-Fi on the cruise ship off the Bahamas has proved to be a challenge.
Should have been a wobble about down there in the Bahamas.
Keith. Jeez.
And Keith goes on to say, lucky my cabin concierge let me use his crew password, which made the reception much clearer.
Well, there we go.
Wouldn't you love to be on a cruise in the Bahamas?
Right about now.
Yeah. Have a daiquiri for us, Uppy.
He finishes with, should be back on land in the USA for the D's game at 5:10 a.m.
Yeah, no, so. Don't worry, mate. Don't stay on board.
I hope they delayed the berth there. Do they berth ships? What do they do?
Dock?
They dock, sorry. That's
mate, lucky you don't have children.
Oh,
you'd be docking children.
I've got no idea.
And the final email, we got one more email from Gavin Randalls during the week. Hi, guys. Love your work. Josh, you're doing okay. Tony, glad you're back on deck. Yes. Some of your gags are actually funny.
Yeah,
I agree
wholeheartedly.
That's great.
The podcast was recently listened in Niseko, Japan by my brother Justin and I. So I think that calls for another pin in your map of places around the globe that's been penetrated by the Talking Tigers global juggernaut.
We might give Matt a job who's just over here working away while we talk.
Yeah, he hasn't got much to do, has he?
Next week, can you get a map
get a globe.
And just put all that...
Oh, I reckon a globe. I reckon actually get the globe and we'll put...
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right around, that'd be great. All I think we need to do... just dedicate a whole show to all our overseas
listeners.
An
OB.
Yeah. Well, it could be just from here, but we could just include them all in. Make an because how would we know where we're going to do the OB if we're the...
Well, maybe we'll spin the globe and just whack a pin in somewhere and just head there.
And just go there. Great idea.
Sounds good.
Zaporozzi.
Gavin goes on. He gives a bit of a bake to Mark McClure, which is great.
Yeah, good. Yeah, no, that's more the better there.
And he also says, by the way, you can put on some Led Zeppelin anytime you want.
Yep.
Saw the band here in Melbourne in 1972. Still the best concert I've ever been to. Mm.
Pretty solid stuff there.
So there you go. That was
that's great.
The emails this week.
Before we get into the medical room, get an update on Lids, we did just get a tweet through from Jess Benson. She says, sorry. And we get another one here from...
What's she sorry about?
She said sorry for not using the hashtag.
Oh, right.
And... Kegsticles. He said, should Jack play up the ground full time? No, I like a mix of both because he's a goal kicker and he still needs to kick his goals, but he is so good up the ground as that conduit between defence and attack.
Very good.
He's just outstanding at the moment, Jack.
And we got one more tweet during the week from Colin wondering whether Richo can give some insight on how the boys might be feeling at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. That's a very, very good question because, well, 2009 was your last, you didn't sort of complete that season, but if you go back to 2007, I think we lost our first six or seven games in 2007, and there were other seasons. So what is it like? How difficult is it?
Well, it's tough when you have the Herald Sun wanting to write about you every day, and that's just the way it is. But what you need to do is you need to accept that. You need to accept that Richmond's a big club and the noise is going to come. But I found myself personally, and I guess other players as well, until I was able to actually learn to block that out and focus on the simple things that are what make you play well. I didn't play well, and then I finally learnt to block that out, and I think I played more consistent footy when I just didn't worry about what anyone else said.
But what about as a team then as well? How then can you turn it around? Like what would your role be as a leader? Do you try and lift?
Well, just keeping the locker room upbeat.
Yeah.
Keep training fun. You know, once you start walking into the place and it's not enjoyable to be here as a player, you're in trouble. So you need to be able to keep that upbeat
and keep
training
and take your mind off the bigger picture, things like finals and stuff like that, and just focus on what your role is
and the coach will tell you what that is, obviously, and then focus on the little things that make you play that role well. And if you all do that as a collective group, then you should find improvement. But it's easier said than done.
It's a very good point though you make, because the players often like talking about going away as a team together, because it strips back that sort of environment, and it's just sole focus on football.
So you need to try.
How do they try and replicate that environment?
Well, that's what
club.
I mean. Just when you get to the club, not worry about all the noise outside and make it enjoyable to be at. Make training...
Go and have a few frothies together?
Well, that was the old way of doing it. I still am a big fan of doing that. I think you need to.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't hurt to go and lock yourself into somewhere down Swan Street there and just tip a few in. But anyway, that's old school. That's probably not acceptable these days.
We could do it in their honour if they're struggling. So,
so what's going on in the medical room, Josh?
Yes, we've got the injury list here. So Jack was the one with the rolled ankle out of the game. So he hasn't been added to the list, so that's positive signs.
So it's no more than a rolled ankle?
I would assume that Burgey sees it that way. And he was able to come back onto the ground in the last quarter. So he missed 10 minutes of football during the game, but was able to see out the rest of Sunday night's game.
Yeah.
So he should be in line. The only thing against him would be the 6-day turnaround.
Yeah.
But he's out there.
He did. I did
doing a light training at the moment.
The foot looked a bit swollen straight after, but that's just a
that's
matter.
That's right.
Of,
and Asprey did it the week before, and he was able to turn around and train last week.
So he should that throughout the week and everything. Yeah.
Any other issues on the weekend?
Well, the two would be Nick Flosten with the knee, just down as TBC.
Yeah. Which,
so he and Grimesy look to be in a similar.
Yeah.
Case there in the TBC, but there is some really positive news with Nathan Drummond.
Mm. Yeah.
He's been listed as in looking like playing in round 8.
Oh, really?
So around the 2 to 3 weeks between now and then.
Yep. Yep.
And Sean Hampson quad cork is available, and some really good news as well. Brett Deledio was named in the side for Sunday. It was a late withdrawal. Yes.
So he should play
just
this
because
week.
Of preparation and conditioning.
Beautiful.
He's downlisted as available, so this Saturday night against Port.
Yep.
Good news.
Ready and raring to
go. Bruce Conker?
2 weeks as well. So his progression from the hamstring injury, as is Yaron with the foot. Mm.
Mm. All right, thanks for that, Josh. Now, we've got a call for the quiz. It's Aaron from Mount Evelyn. Aaron, thanks for calling in, mate. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. How are you guys going?
Yeah, good,
we're
Aaron.
Good.
Yeah,
we're good. Yeah, now, Tone's going to ask you
All right, Aaron. I want to know who the oldest living Richmond Premiership player is.
Is it Paul Sproul?
No, it's not Paul Sproul.
Oh, all right.
Sorry about that, Aaron.
Sorry, Aaron.
That's all right,
Troy. Thanks for calling, mate.
I might have to. I'll give a clue.
Yeah.
All right. So this player played in the 1967 Premiership.
Yep. Played in the 67 Premiership.
Played in the 67.
All right. Okay. Now give us a call then. 9426 4423 Oldest living Richmond Premiership player. Well, we know Mike Sheehan, boys, is currently putting together his top 50 Richmond players of the last 50 years.
Yep.
Now, that's a tough job, obviously, for the great man, Michael Sheehan, and it's progressing along really nicely, the top 50.
Is,
I think
yes.
we're up to about 19 or 20 today.
Mm-hmm. So 18's just dropped.
18's just dropped
well,
today.
Well, maybe 17 as well. So.
Now, our leader, of course, Brendan.
Yes.
He was one of the men responsible for putting this together, Mike Sheehan and Simon Matthews, the team. And I think when they signed up Mike, Brendan was under the understanding that he was definitely going to feature in the top 50, which he has.
Yep.
He has come in at number 40, I believe, JP. Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't have happened if he wasn't included. I think
he
was in at 40.
That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't have gone ahead.
No.
One of the precursors.
He was in at 40.
There he is, 40.
So when Mike signed the agreement to do this top 50, one of the provisos was that Brendan was
in
it.
Yeah.
He said, if you're not going to put me in,
it won't happen.
It won't be happening. Mm. So Mike said, yeah, look, no problem, Brendan. You'll
come. He said there was a bit of an issue because he wasn't in the original 50.
He was a toss of the coin, wasn't he?
He was a tosser.
I believe when Mike put together the first rough list, Tone, you know, because you collaborated
with him. Yes, I did.
I believe in the first list that came through, Brendan was an unlucky omission.
I think he might have been 53 or 52.
You had to scramble to get him in.
Please, whatever you do,
well, it was going to be
make sure he gets in.
Well, it was going
to
be thrown
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he said, well, to make it look good, I can't put him in at 49. Yeah. I'll put him in at 40, you know.
So he's
there's a lot of shuffling around.
He's come in at 40. Well, people have noticed since that came through about a week and a half ago, Brendan's been wandering around the office and he hasn't been himself. Mm. And he's been making noises to people who have been listening to him because people scamper away at times when he comes towards them in the office.
Oh, well, particularly after what happened to Pikelets.
Yeah. So we now know... We now know through a staff member that I won't name because it would be detrimental to their employment that Brendan has told them that he believed he should have been in the top 25.
Oh, no.
So Brendan is not happy with Mike Sheehan having
Poor
him at number 40.
Mike has moved heaven and earth to get him to 40.
I know. Well, Brendan wanted top 25.
Oh, no.
So the Chief has not been happy this week.
That's unbelievable. We got our way.
It's that time of the week, Tone.
Yes, we got our way with the appropriate sting from Manfred Mann, now, Mighty Quinn.
The Mighty Quinn. Magnificent song. We made an executive decision after you leave last week, Brenton.
Couldn't go with that one from last week.
It's disappointing.
Yeah. No, this is a ripper. This is you.
This is me.
Absolutely, 100% this is you.
This is me. Okay, we'll have to run with it then, won't we?
Yeah, no, you'll live up to it. You'll live up to it, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So how did how did we go in the Sam Lloyd Cup? How did that all
Sam
pan
Lloyd
out?
Cup?
Yeah.
Well, we started off brilliantly with a 6-1 opening term.
Mm-hmm. Who was the catalyst behind that?
It was the 3-pronged attack of Ben Griffiths, McBean, and Marbior Choll, who really got us up and going and provided a real presence in the air and at ground level in our forward line. And we're winning at stoppages, winning clearances, keeping the ball in our half, and we had a 29-point lead at quarter time. And then in the second, Frankston really started to win the ball out of the middle. They harassed, they pressured. We started a few turnovers, costly, and then a 23-point lead heading into half time. Third quarter, unfortunately, Frankston really made their move. They really smashed us around the clearances. Their ruckman caught on top of Soldo. He's a very experienced and a ruckman that's been around a while for the Dolphins, and it resulted in them winning the centre clearances 16-4 for the day. Mm. And as they kicked a goal on the three-quarter time siren and cut the lead to our lead to 5 points, and then in the opening minute, kicked a goal to give them the lead, and they ran away from there, unfortunately.
Mm. Yeah, right. So it sounds like one of those days where it was a bit up and down for the team. Four-quarter performers, were any stood out for you?
It was tough. Mm-hmm. Probably Marbior Choll was the one. He got us going early, and then he actually gave us a bit of life in the last quarter as well, but we just... It was too much left of too few, unfortunately.
So, Manny, with Marbio, how did he get his goals and what sort of a game did he play? Was it groundwork? Was he marking the footy? I haven't seen the game. I'd just be interested
to know. It was a bit of 50-50. In the air, he was really attacking the ball in the air. Unfortunately for Marbio, I think the step in his development, he's probably clinging to a few more of those marks. He clung to a few more than he has been this week, but just he's flying for the ball, but just they're just not sticking. And at ground level, he's really lightning at ground level, and he had one passage of play in the first quarter where he intercepted a ball as the Dolphins were exiting D50 and turned around and kicked a goal. So there's those little passages that are really exciting. But it's just it was another step in his development.
He's got enormous potential.
He does have enormous potential, but we just have to harness that and develop him over the next year or so.
And keep expectations in check as well.
Temper them a little,
A long-term exciting project.
He's obviously definitely a long-term prospect, and it's a long way to go, but he's showing some exciting signs.
You mentioned him, Ivan Soldo.
Yes.
Right? And that the Frankston Ruckman got on top. But how's his progress?
His progress is getting there. Yeah. Around the grounds, he took a really nice contested mark early and kicked a goal. Now, he's been doing that a little bit more this year, but in his development, I think he has to be more of an influence around the stoppages, around the clearances. The ruckman just, he did as he pleased, really, in the second half. And Ivan, he tired a lot and was actually quite sore after the game because he played pretty much a lone hand with Ben Griffiths in the ruck as well. So he battled, but he's getting there. He's, like Marbio, he's a long-term prospect that we just got to persevere with.
Another rookie who I've been interested in since coming to the club is Adam Marcon. He's been in pretty good form in the VFL and in the practice games as well. How did he go on the weekend?
He was our leading disposal getter and our Caden Player of the Day. He had 32 touches.
Ooh, the Caden Player of the Day.
Yes, there we go. Yeah. 20 contested, 7 clearances and 6
tackles. What do you give
tackles.
Them, an apartment, do you? Or?
Oh, yeah, just an apartment.
Where do you reckon,
where do you reckon, Richo?
Just a drop punt down the road, Dave.
So he was really good around the stoppages, but he played pretty much a lone hand in that area. So Fly pointed to the fact he needs to work on his exiting stoppages and his kicking and efficiency out of those, but his effort can't be questioned.
He's pretty consistent at the moment. What about some of the other listed players? Castagna, Moore, McBean and Griffiths.
Castagna he got moved to halfback after playing forward and mid over the last few weeks. He was good. He had 23 disposals, and 15 uncontested possessions, 11 handball receives, and he was the lone hand with providing that run and drive off half back, but you just didn't have enough people following him.
Was his disposal okay?
It was okay, yeah. I think it's more of a
decision making
more than his disposal, but he's got plenty of excitement, and Fly reckons he's getting towards AFL opportunities, so we might be seeing that in the next few weeks.
So with those two talls, there is a slight question mark on Jack. We think he'll get up, but if he didn't, McBean, Griffiths, which one would you think? Well, it's not your job
my job to select. Both had patches, but both were a little inconsistent. Griffiths was really strong early in the year and took a couple of really good contested marks, and McBean also. He took 4 contested marks for the day, had 15 disposals, and also had 10 contested possessions. So he's working on getting to the contest and hitting the contest hard in the air, or also at ground level. But, I'd say either one of those would be a fitting replacement.
Yeah, and just quickly, a couple other players, Short and Butler, how did they go?
They were a little down on their previous weeks. Short was Jaden got involved in a few passages of play, but he played off a wing, and Fly was really looking for him to be that link between half back and half forward, but we just wasn't really providing that at that stage. It's a tricky ground, Frankston, and they're actually really narrow and shallow wings, so we got a bit caught out there.
Now, Manny, where are we off to this week in the VFL?
We're at home, Richo, Punt Road Oval, 4:30 PM as the curtain raiser
to the first ever under lights. Here
we go. JV's in with the first ever under lights.
That'll be exciting.
It will be exciting.
There's one of my tidbits gone.
Sandy coming off a 28-point win over Footscray. They sit ninth, we sit eighth. It's a crucial game for us.
Big game.
8-point game.
Well, Manny, thanks for coming in. Again, I believe you had a pretty successful weekend yourself. Had a good time.
Yeah, I did have a good time, Richard.
Yeah, excellent. Great. Yeah, yeah.
We're not bringing off-air conversations.
No. You had a good weekend.
You had a good weekend. I did have a good weekend. Yeah, thank you, Richard.
Yeah, no worries. All right. Thanks for joining us.
Good on you, mate.
Now, Tone, if you're still living at home where Mum barracks for Carlton and Dad thinks you're born to mow the lawn...
She wouldn't be my mum if she barracks for Carlton.
I think it's time you found your own place. In fact, you should move out on your own.
It's not a bad idea.
You don't like human beings.
Not a bad idea at all.
Save $27 a day and you can do it. Our valued sponsor, Caden, can kickstart you into your new apartment with $15,000 towards your deposit.
$15,000?
15 large tone.
Wow.
This is all up front. They don't load the money into the price and there are terms and conditions, but no catches or hitches. Caden.com.au/kickstart will give you all the ins and outs, Tone.
Oh, I need a good kickstart.
Hey, guess what? We've got another caller on the line for the quiz.
Oh.
Yeah, Jeff from Griffiths Uni, a regular of ours up there in Brisbane. How are you going, Jeff?
Good, thanks, Richo. Very nice to talk with you.
You're staying positive, mate? You're still
As always, the last time I talked with you guys, we were about to play Collingwood last year.
That's right.
Oh. I like it.
An omen.
I said we were going to win, and Tony said, you're joking.
I wouldn't have said that.
I can assure you, Tone, that's what
you're saying. All right, okay.
Well, Jeff, you're a good
What are you saying, that we'll win this week?
Yes.
Good. I would like to hear that. Okay. Hey, Jeff, you've rung for the quiz.
Yeah.
And Tone's going to ask you the question.
So, Jeff, I want to know the oldest living Richmond Premiership player. Who is it?
I wonder whether it's Paddy Gannon.
Good work, Jeff. Yeah, Paddy's 77 years and 3 months. Big Paddy.
How many premierships Paddy
played? Paddy just played in 67. Paddy was like, throughout the lean years leading up to that, he was a bit like yourself. He was just magnificent pair of hands, great mark.
Couldn't kick though.
No, he was a bit erratic with his kicking, but he was a real focal point and a real fan favourite, Paddy Ganane.
Well, Jeff,
good work, Jeff.
Jeff, thanks, matey. Can you email us in?
Yes.
Your address and size, and JB's going to get that tee up to you.
Happy to do that, gentlemen.
Good on you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hopefully Jeff's on the money there with the tolls this week. It was a good omen last year. So
I think Jeff's a pretty clued up man. Yeah. I think
is he a professor at the uni, do you think?
I think he might be.
He sounds like a professor.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Vice Chancellor.
Yes.
Oh, he could be.
Potentially.
So, boys, we better get into the game. What did we make of it?
Frustrating.
Frustrating.
Very frustrating. Oh, I think, look, I there's no doubt. Had a real dip. Had a real crack at it. No doubt.
It wasn't a bad game to watch if you just wanted to watch a game of footy. And plenty of goals.
I reckon there was times when we moved the ball quickly. Every time we moved the ball quickly and got it inside 50 quickly, we converted.
Absolutely.
Scored, so.
Well, we competed. I mean, quarters two and three, we were right up there, but I think...
Definitely.
That what hurt us was the end of the first quarter, conceding those three goals, and then really start hurt. Of the second, Jack Watts comes out and gets another... playing catch up from that
and
point onwards. We kept pegging it back.
We just couldn't quite get
we couldn't
there,
get
no.
in front. And the lift that comes with that, I assume, would have helped us. And then Melbourne withstood that, and they went on with it in the end.
In the end, they went on with it.
And unfortunately, they just transitioned out of their back half so easily.
I thought their ball movement was just a bit better than ours. Mm. The same amount of inside 50s, but the way they got it inside there was just that little bit better than ours. And I thought one thing we did do well that was we probably haven't done greatly this year is the forward half turnovers. We caused them to turn it over a lot in our forward half, but we just couldn't capitalise on it. I think we had 26 turnovers in our forward half and only kicked four goals off the back of it. And if you can force teams into turnovers, you should be able to score off the back of it, and I don't think we did that.
I think we had the same number of inside 50 entries too, didn't we?
Well, for most of the game, we were rolling same number of scoring shots, same number of inside 50s, and
But you were right, Richard. They were just a bit cleaner. They were cleaner with their transition, their ball movement.
When they had opportunities to move it, they moved a little bit quicker and cleaner, and that's probably the difference in the end.
Yeah.
I reckon our leaders are standing up.
Stood up, big time for all the criticism that, the few of them have copped. Jeez.
I have noticed the journos have dropped off the leaders.
And they've admitted that the criticism, particularly of Trent Cotchin's been ridiculous, outrageous. I think, now. I mean, they're acknowledging that.
And I don't think Jack could be playing any better than what he is.
Yeah. I agree.
Oh, the last couple of weeks he's been outstanding again on the weekend. Yeah. Kicking goals, setting up goals, and presenting.
It'd be handy if Jack was leading up and kicking to Jack, wouldn't it? You know, that would be really have two Jacks there.
Two Jacks.
Shane Edwards' best game for the year.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I think he really generated some good ball movement for us, and just his ability to win it, obviously, and get it forward quickly was he did some really good things. Shane, definitely. No
so,
doubt about that.
What'd you make of it, boys, with your votes?
JB, you go first.
Well, speaking of Jack Riewoldt, I thought he was our best player. Gave him the three votes. We really missed him when he went off in that last quarter when we were trying to mount a charge.
He had 24 disposals, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, correct. So our leading disposal winner was Trent Cotchin, so I gave him the two votes, not because he got the possessions, because he always presented and did the hard stuff, led us in contested possessions,
and clearances,
and I think was second or third in tackles, so can't fault Trent's effort at all. And one vote I gave to Anthony Miles. I thought it was his best game of the season so far. Went back to the reserves last week and showed a bit with his added grunt.
And played well in the reserves.
Yeah, he did. Matty?
Didn't go back and drop his bundle. I went Jack. He was clearly our best player. He's clean at the moment. Some of his work up the ground where he got a handball off or just provided that target through the middle, which linked us up. I thought he was outstanding.
He's a very smart player.
He's a smart player. He's got clean hands. And he's trying as hard as anyone out there to try and get the Tigers across the line. Two to Cotchin. I think you summed it up. Hard work around the contest and clearances and plenty of tackles as well from Trent. He's doing as much as he can. And I gave one to Sam Lloyd because he's, once again, in his 27th, I think, game or 26th.
There goes one of my tidbits. Oh,
three goals.
There goes one.
Well, these are my votes.
No,
but you can
fine.
Still use that.
Yeah, that's
he
fine.
Kicked three goals, but I'd... He's seven tackles.
He's just got himself really fit.
Yeah, that's it.
They wanted him to tackle more, and he's done that. So I gave one to Lloydie.
And he's just got that X factor. That mark he took again, you know. He's just he can take it overhead or
he's starting
or at ground
to
level.
Go for more marks too. I think he's believing in himself.
Definitely. I'm the same with the first two. Three to Jack, two to Trent Cotchin, and I go one to Shane Edwards for the reasons that we mentioned before. Best game of the season, getting back to his the form that he displayed last year. And yeah, just really liked his performance.
Nice stuff, boys. So the leaderboard for the TT Player of the Year, 21 to Trent Cotchin, 16 to Jack Riewoldt, 14 to Alex Rance, 11 to Dustin Martin. Kane Lambert rounds out the top five on 9. So those leaders are clearly bursting ahead in the leaderboard. We probably need some votes from players a bit underneath, I guess, to get us across the line.
Very good point.
The yellow and blackers, and I think we had a tweet through for a yellow and blacker. I think the tail got on board there, so JB's just going to have a look at that, so I might jump straight into
please,
it.
Yeah, please. Here you go. Who did you have last week?
I had Dustin Martin last
week. That's right. 3 weeks in a row.
Now, I said he would kick three goals? Plus goals.
Please, you've mozzed him. Clearly you've mozzed him. Are you off now?
So sorry, Dustin, I have mozzed you.
So he will kick three now.
So he will kick three this week. Yeah. So... I'm going this week with the big man who will be playing his second game for the season.
Second up from a spell?
Yeah, I thought he worked hard. Max Gawn's in all-Australian type form at the moment. But I'll tell you, Matty Lobe over at Port, I don't think he's playing as good a footy as he can. I think this game, I'm touching wood here. I think this game, the team that wins it out of the middle will win because both teams are probably down in that area a little bit at the moment. So I'm saying that Ivan will have a big game second back. He's a leader. He's a warrior. And I think he'll lead us across the line this week by getting it done in the middle.
Good.
Okay.
Taking the pressure off Dustin too, which I like.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Go on.
Yeah, last week I went for Alex Rance. I thought the year before against Jesse Hogan wasn't his best display.
You're starting to really get this, aren't you?
Yeah. So I thought he would
grasped it a lot easier than AC. AC never got the concept.
He never got it, AC.
So I thought he'd have a good outing against Hogan
and he did.
Last Sunday. Played his part in keeping him goalless. Jesse probably missed a few goals as well. So, unfortunately, Rancey let himself down and will miss a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
This week, he's back. He's available. Going with Brett Delidio. Just doesn't
first
need
up.
Doesn't need much more.
He's going to go bang, is he?
How's he go first up?
Nothing on me.
No.
But I think he goes pretty well. He had that stretch where he didn't miss any games for so long. The tail's yellow and blacker. You mentioned Richo was tackling pressure and not leaking easy goals out the back to come in this week.
So the tail's added a layer.
Oh, that's a different layer.
And he's also added another layer.
He's got a team layer.
He's gone another layer saying, is it correct that since Pikelet's left, we haven't won a game? So he wants Pikelet's back.
Would the chief eat humble pie? Like, I don't think the chief would be doing that.
I've got a feeling Pikelet's is pretty happy with where he's...
Where has he gone?
Oh, he's moved on,
Pikelet's.
Has he?
Okay.
And he's pretty happy with himself.
And an actual...
A bit like Manfred.
An actual...
yeah.
An actual... A black booker for those who are... that way inclined for from our quiz answer.
Oh, is this from yes.
Okay, sorry. So this is your special that you're bringing in.
Yeah. This is your black book special to go with your yellow and black book special. Yeah.
Just for the Tiger fans out there. Well, Paddy Ganane is a racing breeder. And,
he's right into his horse racing.
Owner, man. And he had one last week, first up at Colac on debut, Kingston Comet.
Really? Kingston Comet. Yep,
one on debut. So
what price was it?
Not too sure on that one.
Still, but it's one to follow. Kingston
could be one
Comet.
To follow. If
where was it at Colac?
Down at Colac. So.
Yeah, that's Axel Foley.
Okay.
On your weekend, maybe just keep a look out for that one.
It's good. All right.
I like that. That's very good.
And if it goes bust, well,
don't blame you. All right.
So Paddy trained it. Beautiful.
We might have jumped the gun. That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. Scons has clearly got other work to do and wants TT over for the day.
We'll get there. We'll get there in a sec. But got to, of course, go in my Yellow and Black Book special.
What is it?
Last week, I'm really nailing this. I went for Anthony Miles.
Yeah.
So Miles, he went pretty well. Probably could have snuck him in for a vote, really.
Yep.
Which you did, JB, anyway. And this week, I am going for Sammy Lloyd. Sammy Lloyd for all the reasons that we mentioned.
Beautiful.
Oh, very nice.
Well, quickly, get into your... Oh. Actually, have you got tidbits today? Yeah. I don't think you've got them, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A couple. Very small. They're not worth... I'll give you one, okay. All right?
Just get into
I want you to tell me the player, right, at Richmond that is leading us in the category of inside 50 entries. Who at the club for inside 50 entries?
Oh, I'm going to say it is Jack Rewell.
Incorrect. One guess and then we'll get into it.
Sam Lloyd.
Kane Lambert
has
had 18. He's equal 70th in the comp, which probably tells a bit about why we might be struggling a little bit.
Cheer me up. I've got to go see Dimmer for the dissection.
We'll get right into it. Okay. Hey, what do mice wear on their feet?
Shoes.
Squeakers. I had a terrible dream the other night.
Oh, no.
Kev would have liked that one.
Would he?
Yeah, with the mice. Yeah. I had a terrible dream the other night that I was a muffler.
Yeah?
Yeah, I woke up exhausted. how can you tell that a tree is nomadic? When it packs up its trunk and leaves.
You are
Which Asian city does McDonald's get its burgers from?
Oh, I don't know, Tony.
Macau.
Oh.
And why don't snakes...
Josh like that.
Why don't snakes drink coffee?
Why?
Because it makes them too viper active.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Do you want another one? One really quickly.
Quick, I've got to go.
A mate of mine has a terrible addiction to Coca-Cola.
Yeah?
Yeah. So he got sent to a physician.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You shouldn't have gone with that extra one.
I was on fire to
Well.
Go, Tigers. Yeah, come on. Lift.
Yeah, guys, thanks for joining us again today on TT. Bit of high voltage football needed this week by the Tigers against the Power. Thanks for listening, as always. We'll see you next week. Get involved with Talking Tigers at richmondfc.com.au.